So my name is Todd Anders. I'm going to introduce my the couple that's going to spend time with us up here today is are the Towns. And I'm going to let Bo start off by telling, or actually Lori, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your family. And by the way, I'll just say this is the Prepare to Launch breakout. So if you, that's not what you're here for, you're in the wrong place. Sorry about that. But hopefully it'll be entertaining and interesting to everybody. Nonetheless, that's right. That's a good thing. Go ahead.
The Towns family. So we have launched four children. Our oldest, Tanner, and his wife, Jennifer, live in Wichita, Kansas. Reed and his new wife, JC, are here in Dallas at Watermark. And Ellie is in Kansas City. She's a nurse. And Josie, our youngest, and her new husband, Cade, are in Fayetteville.
And we're the Anders family, and we have two daughters that will be graduating from Texas A&M in December of this year. They're a year behind each other, and one's an extra semester, and one's a semester early, so they're graduating together, which is crazy. Okay.
So, there you go. Because that's because Bo's supposed to be doing this, right?
All right. So, have you
really
thought?
Good at this, as you
I don't know when you when. Think back. Do you remember when you had your first child? How many of you here have children?
Everybody.
Okay. All right. We're all on the same page. How many of you have children like in elementary age or younger? Okay. Great. Middle school. Middle school kids. High school. All right. College. Scott, you should even be up here, really. Yes, you should. So I just get a lay of the land. So when you had that baby, did you think in your mind the purpose or the goal of parenting is to what? What did you think about? Did you think about that? If someone would have told you the goal of parenting is to for my kids to leave, would you have gone, yes? No, not initially, right? Well, what we want to kind of suggest is that the goal of parenting is to launch your kid, to get to have them leave home, all right? And so from day one, that really is the goal. So what we're going to talk about a little bit is just how do we do that? And so Scripture just tells us, hey, our job is to train up our kids. So why? Why do we train up our kids? Well, Jesus even said, he's quoting the Old Testament from the beginning in Genesis, that a man will leave his mother and father, right, and cleave. He will leave, all right? That's the goal, for them to leave. And so our job in that whole process is to just prepare them, to train them, to get them ready for that. And so just like the Scripture says here in Proverbs or in Psalms, is our job is to take those arrows that God has blessed us with and to launch them, not to keep them in the quiver. I mean, that's not the goal. The goal is for those things to be actually launched.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk to you a little bit about kind of a philosophy around what it looks like to launch your kids. Somebody told me years ago, hey, your goal is not to raise adult children or grown children. Your goal is to raise adults, okay? And those are two different things. And we love our kids, and we wish our kids would hang out with us for a long period of time. But the reality is just my charge by God as their parent is to prepare them for adulthood, to prepare them for life. And we really think that process has two components to it, right? The first one is to teach your children to be dependent on God. And the second one is to teach your children to be independent from you, okay? And if you kind of think about that launching process in that way, in those two different buckets, we think that's a pretty good construct for how to think about launching your children. I want to pause right here and make an acknowledgement, right? We'll talk a little bit more about this in a second in the next slide, but all of our children are different. All of our circumstances are different. So we're going to talk in some generalities today around launching children, but I want to acknowledge that not all of our children are wired the same way. Not all of them will launch the same way. We've got some really good friends with kids with special needs, right? And just because they don't launch the same way that the average, whatever that is, kid launches, we want to acknowledge that those difficulties exist, and there's no shame in that for people. Okay, so the other thing that I want to do just administratively is this. We've got a small enough group here today. We would like this to be more of a dialogue than us sitting up here for an hour and pontificating to you. And so what that means for us is don't hold your questions to the end or your comments. If you've got a comment that you think is helpful in this conversation, raise your hand. We're going to ask you to speak into a mic just because this session is being recorded. But we want this to be more of a conversation than the Towns and the Anders just kind of talking at you around God's plan for launching your children. So one other thing that I think is super important, and this slide that says that your child is designed uniquely. Look, there, the scripture is pretty clear that God knew your child when they were in their mother's womb before you knew them. He knew their rising up and their lying down. He knew what it was going to look like. He knew how they are uniquely, wonderfully made by him, right? And so one of the things that I think that we really believe strongly and that Scripture teaches is one of your big jobs as a parent is to be a student of your child, right? To understand how your kids need to be dealt with differently from one another and differently from our children when it comes to preparing them to launch. So some of the things we're going to talk about are general principles. We may give you some specific ideas, but none of this is going to be helpful to you unless you put it through the grid of you being a student of your children and what do my children need because of the way they're uniquely wired. I've got two girls. They are wired very differently. They needed very different things. And while we had the same goals in mind for both of those children, i.e. dependent upon God, independent from us, what that looked like in terms of the things that we did with them, the things we encouraged them towards, all this part of that looked very different because they're different people. And so this is really to help you think about your children and the way they are wired, the way that they differ, and what do I need to do as a parent to parent that child well. And so in our house, we had a kind of a six-year plan for how we would launch our children, but the details of that plan for Audrey and for Eve, my two daughters, looked very different because they were wired very differently. And so you've got to be a student of your children in order to launch them well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right along those lines of just knowing, being a student of your child and what they're like, how they're wired, is also to have in the back of your mind as you're considering that, as you're a student of them, as you're taking notes. You know, Mary, one of the things that Mary said as Jesus was growing in Luke 2, is that he said that she considered these things in her heart, right? As she watched Jesus interact, as he had these different episodes, just a very few when he was young, she considered these things in her heart. And so I would just encourage you strongly, because I think there are some ways that I really kind of failed at that. I thought, hey, I know how to do this parenting thing, and I'm going to do it this way. And I really needed to take more notes on my kid and really kind of go, hey, they said this, they really liked this, and really just become that student and just kind of treasure those things in my heart so that I'm able to encourage them towards, how God has wired them and the work that he has for them to do. Did you know that? God has a work for your kid, for our kids to do. And that's not just, you know, professional ministry. It is, they're wired a certain way. And so I need to have that in mind. And I wish I really had done that a lot better or been encouraged to do that, is to kind of go, hey, what's your kid like? What is he like? What does he enjoy? I had our firstborn, Tanner, had this incredible mind. And we knew that when we put Legos in front of him at a young age. I mean, he just went off building stuff and had this kind of engineering type mind. And yet I tried to encourage him toward all of these different sports, which he did well in. But what he really was wired to do was be an engineer, you know? And when he really kind of connected with that and with airplanes, you know, he just took off. And today he is a test flight engineer. I mean, he goes up into planes that they're testing, okay? They're not sure if these things are going to land or not. So, I mean, and that gets him going. I mean, he loves putting data together and like, it just, you know, that whole mindset is just skipped me. I mean, I have no capacity for that, right? And so God has a work for them to do. So as we consider, you know, being a student, how's God designed you, you know, what's the work? And, you know, keep asking questions so that they discover. You help them discover that, okay? So just having that in mind.
I think it's also really important to acknowledge that God made your child unique, but he also sovereignly picked you to be the mother and the other you to be the father. And you guys, as a couple, you're also different, and you bring different things to that picture. The enemy it's a very, very effective strategy for the enemy to try to get the two of you against each other in the midst of that. For us, that was a big ditch. I was afraid he wasn't nurturing enough, so I'd be more nurturing. He was afraid that I wasn't strict enough, so he'd be more strict, and then we'd get at each other. And it is worth taking the time to get on the same page. That's the best thing to do, to be able to do for each of your children as you're processing through what's our next step and what does that look like. And sometimes that means I came closer to his side. Sometimes he came closer to mine. Sometimes we met right in the middle. And other times we found something completely different that was more of where we could agree on. And just make sure that it's not just about your child, but it's also about how you together as a parenting team are helping to process through this.
So the we told you at the beginning there were two big buckets that we want to talk about. The first one is the idea of preparing your child for dependence upon the Lord. And candidly, if we wanted to sit here and give you tips and tricks, this is the one that's hardest to do. It's hardest to tell you there's a book to read, there's a plan to follow, there's a script to be read. But this is the one that is most important. It's also the one that's hardest to navigate. My wife earlier today said it this way, and I thought it was really well said. She said, this is something that is more caught than taught, okay? Your children are going to catch the idea of being dependent upon the Lord from what you model in their lives, not from the words that you put in before them. So words are important. They're always important. So that first one says, hey, what are your words? What are you talking to your children about? What is God's plan here? Versus what is, in my case, Todd's plan here, right? And God's plan is more important than Todd's plan. They're going to look at it in your life. Are mom and dad relying upon and seeking God's will? Or are mom and dad running their own playbook? Okay? Because if you're running your own playbook and you're telling them to be dependent upon the Lord and you're not modeling that for them, it's going to go in one ear and out the other, okay? I would say that one of the places that was most difficult for us as a couple to do that was our expectations of our children. Are they our expectations of our children, or are they God's expectations for our children? I have three postgraduate degrees. Education was super important to me. I brought my own set of junk around where they went to college and what their degree plans were going to be and all of that stuff to the process. And candidly, that junk got in the way of the conversation that I really needed to have with my girls, which is, hey, I want you to be doing what God wants you to be doing. And if that means God wants you to be an elementary school teacher, that's great. If God wants you to be an engineer, that's great. If God wants you to go to ministry, that's great. If God wants you to, you fill in the blank, right? And so it's more important, my expectations need to align with God's expectations and God's desire for your life. And so we need to talk about that with our children. We need to model that with our children. And we need to demonstrate it in the way that we deal with our expectations for them. Am I saying all the right stuff? And we're praying at the dinner table, hey, your will be done. But really, when the rubber hits the road, it's much more about my will be done than it is about God's will be done. Okay? And so the idea of preparing your children to be dependent upon the Lord, to rely upon the Lord as they adult, I don't know of any program for that. I don't know of any book you can have them read. It's what you're going to model for them that's most important. Okay.
One example of this is when it got time to start doing some college visits. I'm a visual person, so I came up with, or God came up with this idea of, we're going on a scavenger hunt. God has a college picked for you that's the right college, and we're going to go on a scavenger hunt and figure and try to ask him to reveal to us what that college is. Instead of, I just didn't want them to have this pressure of, I'm going to make the wrong decision. What's the right decision? Is that campus pretty enough? Is this close enough to home? All those reasons are just really not all that important. We want them to go where God wants them to go, and that gave us an opportunity, a real-life situation, to just try to continue to model for them, let's turn this over to the Lord. You know, can you see yourself succeeding spiritually at that campus? Can you see yourself succeeding academically and socially in that order?
So the other thing that I would just mention is that last bullet point on this slide, which is faith, right? The idea there for us is when things don't go the way we want them to go, are we okay with the way that God has orchestrated them to go? Do we really believe that the Lord is sovereign in our lives? And so you're going to have lots of opportunities, whether they get into their first or second choice in college, or whether they pass the AP test, so they don't have to take that class. I mean, you can just think of all the many ways that things don't necessarily go the way we got them planned out in our head. And the way we get to demonstrate faith with them is, it's okay. This is God knows. Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Right, and so I trust the Lord that He knew that you weren't going to get a 4 on the AP test, and it's okay. It's not that big a deal. You did your best. That's all we're asking for from you. God's sovereign in the midst of that. You didn't get into your first choice. It's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. And so that's where, for me, demonstrating that faith to them, demonstrating that we can trust the Lord with them and with us is super important. And that's really kind of, that's the mushy stuff around what does it look like to start to prepare your kids to be dependent upon God, as opposed to believing it's all about, you know, we want our kids to work hard, but if what we really teach our children is it's all up to you, you get to decide, we're setting them up for failure in life, number one. And number two, we're setting them up for failure in terms of their relationship with the Lord, which is much more important than where they go to school or what degree they get or what their grades are.
Yeah. And you just pray a whole lot.
Amen.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, this is God's part right here, right? If they're going to be dependent on Him. And so you just trust God. You know, keep praying. Great moms, right? and dads who just pray for their kids. The next thing, you got a question?
Now these days with, is that now mandatory? I work in an industry where everybody makes six figures and very few of them have degrees. So it that's known, right, to the kids.
Right.
So how do you motivate them to go through all this process when there's a lot of industries now that are very self-taught and, what's y'all's view on like the college launch process?
Yeah.
Or if a community college is better than a 4-year
exam? Yeah. So here's what I would say. It depends on your child, right? If your child has a passion for food, wants to be in that industry, there's no sense in paying crazy numbers for a 4-year college degree. If child wants to be an engineer, I got bad news for you. You gotta send them to a school where they can get an engineering degree, just because it's the nature of that profession. If they want to be a lawyer, they gotta go to college. But that's much more about who your child is and what's for the good of your child instead of my junk. I mean, I'm just gonna be real honest, right? It's my junk that goes. My kid needs to get into an Ivy League school because it looks good. It looks good because I'm the parent of somebody who's going to an Ivy League school. My kid needs to have the degree in XYZ because it looks good. More often than not, then that's our junk as parents, not your kids. And so if you're a student of your children and you learn and you're really watching what they gravitate toward, what they're good at, the way God's gifted them, then you're better able to help them. And sometimes you may want to help them to college, and other times you may not. I don't know, is that helpful?
Hi. Can you flesh out a little bit your comment about the scavenger hunt mentality? I'm interested in, because I too have learned from the visual, but as we are in that process, I'm looking for some more help. You know, obviously we're praying. I agree with all this guidance on the Lord directing those steps, but when you're not motivated to be an engineer or you're not motivated to go to, you know, you don't know what you want to do, which most 17 and 18 year olds don't. What is that scavenger hunt mentality flesh out?
What
like?
Does that even look like?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to have her talk about the scavenger hunt here more in just a second, but I want to encourage you in this regard. We talk in our house a lot about options, that it's good to have choices in life. And sometimes we do things that basically close doors that we didn't intend to close. And so I've got a daughter who was highly motivated to go to college. I've got another daughter that was less highly motivated. And we had to talk about the fact that, hey, if you make these decisions around whether you take or whether you do test prep for ACT, that there are implications to that down the road. We're going to let you make those decisions. We're not going to force you to do those things. But you need to know that down the road, there are implications to the choices we make, and you may foreclose some of your options. We think it's better to have more options as opposed to less options. And so let's just see how you do on the ACT. Let's take it and see how you do. And maybe God makes it clear that college isn't that big a lift. This particular daughter did very well on the ACT, even though she didn't want to take it, right? And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, well, maybe I can do college. I want to help our children think about options. We want God to open and close doors. We don't want to make choices that open and that close doors that God wants to leave open. And I know that's a little bit. So please don't go with that from a theological perspective, right? I think God's sovereign in all things. But I do think that God allows us to some level of free will around making bad choices that foreclose options for us. So we talk about options. We talked about options with our girls. And the fact that if you do that, you understand you're foreclosing all those options. And you don't know what you want to do, so why close those doors today?
I think it's also important to acknowledge, you know, we represent six children up here, and each one of them went from high school to college and did four and a half years at college. That's not the only path that's out there.
Right.
That was a bumpy ride for even for us to get to that that pattern. Okay. There's lots of patterns. There's so I would hate for anybody to leave here thinking that, oh my goodness, the only right path is high school, 4 years college, and that's it. I know several children or young adults that was not their path. And they're law-abiding citizens. It worked out, okay? Again,
more than law-abiding citizens.
They're even more than kids. That goes back, I think, just to know your child and to know that there are options out there. You can make six figures without a college degree. You got to make sure it's the right profession for the right for that child. But back to the scavenger hunt thing, I think I just for me. We visited probably more than we had to, but just that idea of, you know, let's look at, can you succeed spiritually, academically, and socially here? Because if you put socially ahead of the other ones, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And processing through what does each campus offer. And I will tell you, I went to the A&M Information Center like this. That was not the right school for my daughter. I did not want her there. It was too big, all the stuff. And sure enough, that's where she ended up. So there was just as much that God was working on in me during that little scavenger hunt process. You know, for me to say those words and then actually live those out was a little bit more work.
I would just say to that, as you learn your child's temperaments and their giftedness, giving them opportunities when they're in high school with you in your home to try those things. One of our daughters says she wanted to be a nurse, so we gave her the opportunity to go volunteer in a hospital. And so I think just giving them opportunities while you're still with them, coaching them, helps them make choices to see what could be available, whether it's college or not college. You know, our kids didn't do... Some of them not so great in college, but they got through. But I think while they're there, we're going, well, maybe you should get a job. Maybe you should kind of figure out what are some of your giftedness while you're there, just so that they have a plan. And I think if they don't go to college, then help them make some choices of what are some things that you can do if you're not going to go to college. If you're going to have a job, what does that look like? And coaching them through that so you're not just throwing them, not that you would do that.
I thought our kids did pretty good in college. They did better than me. I just kind of put it that way. All right, so good stuff. So preparing them for independence. So you guys know the scripture. Could you go back a slide? You know the scripture that we have of a little picture of Jesus' life, and Jesus continued to increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's all we have of what happened there in that time from like when he's 12 to when he started his ministry around 30, right? And so my question with that is, how did that happen? You know, how did all that growing happen, right? In wisdom and in stature, okay, in body, right? And in relationships with people and his relationship with his father. How'd that happen? I think the key word for that would be intentional parenting, all right? So when it comes to preparing our kids for independence and, you know, in some ways, dependence, we've got to be intentional with things. And the way that we do that is we like you're asking questions, right? And we're here together, and this is really what we wanted it to be, so we're going to try to get through this real quick, is just, hey, let's learn from each other. Let's ask each other, hey, how are you doing with that? What would you suggest? And we're intentional in pursuing ways that we can help them grow in wisdom, right? What can I do to help that? What can I do to help them, you know, see their body as the temple of the Holy Spirit and help them embody who they are, right? And then how do I encourage, you know, relationship building? And what do we do with that? We've given them opportunities, and how do I encourage that relationship? Because in Jesus' life, the point would be is that Mary, Joseph, you know, they did some things to kind of help that process. So obviously, you know, trusting God with that. So so preparing for independence is we are intentional. The goal would be as they leave home that they make wise choices. And, you know, what better place to look for wisdom than from God, than from Scripture. So we're, you know, from young age, we started, you know, with memorizing Scripture, and we start having more and more conversations. We just ask questions about that. We encourage them with self-discipline, to discipline themselves, and then, you know, just setting them up to value relationships. One of the things that we did, which, you know, this was just one little thing, all right? So, you know, you probably have a ton of more creative things to do. But one of the things that we did is we tried to give them this sense of independence and freedom, especially when they left our home, okay, to go do something with other people or to go be away from us. And we would just, we taught them very early three words, and we would, you know, explain those words. And the words were responsible, respectful, and fun to be around. Responsible, respectful, and fun to be around. And so our hope, our expectation is you go out and you're with people at someone's house or at a party or on a team that without your parents there, that, you know, you have this sense of, hey, I've got to carry this. I've got to do these things. So we just kind of explain, hey, what respectful look like, right? Respecting other people, respecting other people's property, respecting things around them, respecting nature, right? You have a responsibility to respect people, and then you want to be responsible with yourself, with your things, with your part in things. And then at the end of the day, after you've left wherever you've been, our hope would be that the people that you were around would say, you know what, they were really fun to be around. I really enjoyed them. Hey, let's invite them over again, all right? I want that kid to be around my kids, all right? And so we kind of really were intentional about talking about what some of those things look like for those specific kids. Like our oldest kids, he's just not the life of the party. I mean, he is fun, but he's not going to just be, you know, everybody's going to go, oh, look at him. Our second kid, no, he's the life of the party, all right? And so that worked different for him than it did his older brother. But his older brother really valued people and just, did it in his way. So we encouraged that. And so we give them opportunity to get out there and be respectful, be responsible, and be fun to be around. And so so we kind of set them up for success with that.
You know, one of the things that that we started to do early with our kids was we started to think about where are places we can give them independence from us from the time they were junior high until high school. What we didn't want was we didn't want our kids to go away to college or to leave our home having never had freedom. And if you look at the statistics around what happens to lots of kids, they live very Christian lives under mom and dad, and then they, for the first time in their life, they have freedom when they go to college or when they move out of the house, and then it's off the rails, right? And so I'll talk about this book a little later, but we read a book that helped us with this, and we'll talk to you about it here in a couple of minutes. But his premise was basically, hey, as early as you can. We didn't start early enough. I wish we would have started like in sixth grade. But as early as you can, find things where you can give your kids the ability to make decisions for themselves, independence, that are safe, and give them guardrails to run on. So let me give you an example. I got two girls. So clothing was a big deal in my house, all right? And when they were freshmen, we said to each of them, Mom and Dad have had a lot to say about how you dress up to this point in time. You now have been given responsibility for how you dress. You can dress any way you want with two guardrails. The first guardrail is it needs to be modest. And the second guardrail is Mom and Dad aren't paying for it, okay? So if you want to be preppy, you can be preppy. If you want to be country, you can be country. If you want to be goth, made dead crazy, you can be goth. That's your choice in terms of what you wear. As long as it's modest, and as long as you understand that mom and dad aren't a blank check to every 3 weeks change your style and mom and dad are paying for it. We did the same thing around music, right? Once you hand your kid an iPhone, I've got news for you. You have no control over what they're listening to. You can put all the parental controls you want on the iPhone, and I've got a buddy who's in the tech world who tries to do that constantly, and he's constantly being outsmarted by his kids, okay? So I'm just going to tell you, once they own an iPhone, you can't control what music they listen to. So we decided we're going to get credit for giving them freedom around music, and we're going to tell them you can listen to whatever music you want. Okay, here are the rules around music. It needs to be God-honoring in terms of the lyrics that are sung, and it needs to be played at a volume that is appropriate for the context that you're in. So you can't be in your room and have it turned up so loud that it destroys mom and dad's relaxation in our home, okay? Or if we hear lyrics that are inappropriate, we're going to get involved. But other than that, you want to listen to country music, you can listen to country. You want to I've got a daughter who loves rap. I do not love rap. Okay? I'm an old guy. I'm an old white guy. Let's just be honest. So I just don't know what to do with it. But my daughter loves rap. And I'm like, hey, you want to listen to rap? Listen to rap. What I care about is what you're putting in your mind in terms of the lyrics. And so she loves Lecrae. She loves, she loves all kinds of Christian rappers. And I'm like, that's not my preferred music type, but it's okay. And so she had that freedom from, I think that she got that freedom when she was probably a freshman or sophomore in high school. Okay, and then we also gave them a path to additional freedoms. Hey, when you show us responsibility in various areas, these are the other freedoms that we want, that we desire to provide you. Okay, and when we provided those freedoms, we gave them guardrails that were appropriate guardrails, and those guardrails need to be really simple and really clear. Okay, so you can't say, here are the five rules. Our maximum was two. Right? The two rules are nothing explicit and not too loud in the music department. But that was a very practical way for us to start. We called it controlled emancipation between my wife and I. To start in a controlled way emancipating them, making them independent from us. At some point, they got to decide what did they want to come to a church. We didn't force them to come to church. Now, we were very fortunate we went to a church that they had fun. They wanted to be at church, right? But at the end of the day, I got news for you. Your kids go away to college. You cannot force them to show up at a church, be engaged in a small group, any of those things, okay? So start giving them safe, appropriate, age-appropriate freedoms in terms of preparing them for independence. That was kind of our philosophy, and I'm going to be real honest with you. It was much more complicated than be respectful, be responsible, and be fun. Okay, but that's more about my junk than it is about anything else, just because I'm a high person. Yes, sir.
Scott.
So I think for us, it started with, we always talked about in our home, the Anders Family Scholarship, right? You're gonna qualify for the Anders Family Scholarship, but there are things you can do to lose the Anders Family Scholarship, okay? And by the way, hardest thing we've ever done, I had a daughter that in her senior year lost the Anders Family Scholarship, okay? So you got to be careful. Don't talk about things you're not really willing to do. You lose credibility that way. But for us, we were clear on, here are the expectations around scholarship. And we said, look, it works just like a scholarship from a college, right? Which is, we're gonna grant some grace. So the first semester that there were challenges, we sat down and we had a conversation. You're on probation with respect to the scholarship. But if this continues, you're going to lose your scholarship. And that's a really hard thing to do. But for us, that's the way we talked about or balanced that, hey, we're financially supporting you as you're out making choices that are totally independent from us. I mean, let's just be honest. I got my kids are down at College Station. I have no idea what they are doing when they're on the phone with us. And even then, I'm not real sure what they're doing sometimes. I have no idea what they're up to.
Also, I would say, I think more for like the social aspect of it, one of our children is a pot toucher, and she's not going to know that that pot is hot unless she touches it. And I can kind of relate to that. When I was in college, I was finding life in all the wrong places. And so I think we knew that one of our children was going to have to taste life, you know, the culture's life a little bit to just make sure that, hey, is that really where it comes from? And she's got some scars and some stories that she probably wishes that she didn't have. I certainly do. And we were upfront with that their whole growing up, and kind of would say, hey, I've tried that. That's not where life is. And to even say, hey, you're gonna go off to college and you're gonna be around people who are for the first time have freedoms, and they're gonna be doing all of this stuff. They weren't the kids, luckily, they weren't the kids that if their roommate came home throwing up at the toilet at 4 o'clock in the morning, they weren't freaked out by that. And I wanted my child to see that. You know, when she told me, she's like, yeah, I was the one that was holding back her hair last night when she came home. And I'm like, well, and what did you think about that? Do you think that was life? And to be able to take some of those situations that they are going to come up against and use them for teaching versus, oh, my goodness, you have to stay away from all of that.
Okay. So I was going to bust out a rhyme, but I'll just wait till after because I am a rapper. All right. All right, so a couple of resources for you are these from the Brunos, Chris Bruno and his wife Beth, and these are just some things. A Voice of Becoming is for moms with your daughters to kind of maybe even, no matter where you are in life, this would be a great book to read to kind of get some good ideas about how you can be intentional with just preparing them for womanhood. And then this guy, the Man Maker Project, is very similar to that book. He just gives some real practical ideas of how to be intentional and preparing and having conversations and taking trips and just, you know, being intentional with preparing your kids to launch and to be out there. And so those are a couple of books for that. And you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, this is the book that we read that kind of talks about controlled emancipation. And I'll just give you a quick preview of the premise of the book. So the guy's a believer. It's not an overtly Christian book, but he really would say that adolescence, as we see it in society today, is a new concept. If you really look at history, kids were becoming independent when they were 13, 14, and 15 years old, and now we keep them dependent upon us until 21, 22 years old. And so our kids have in them a very God-given desire for independence. And when we don't give them that independence, that's when they really rebel. And so we took a lot of the principles that he talked about in that book and implemented them in our family in what I think were really healthy ways for us. Doesn't mean it's the right answer for everybody, but it was very thought-provoking for us.
All right, so let's talk. Yes, we have a question here and back there.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to go back to what you said just a minute.
Yeah,
I just wanted to go back to what you said just a minute ago about the giving them opportunities and not being freaked out when the roommate comes home and vomiting in the toilet kind of thing. So I think our oldest is always our guinea pig, right? Like, I'm a totally different mom with my third than I am with my first. and she's getting ready to go off to college. And just the nature of her personality and the life that she has led so far has given her very little opportunities for seeing things, wrongdoings, preparations. I can't give her those now. So words of wisdom going forward, you know, she might freak out when her roommate comes home. Mm-hmm. You know, what, I mean, just, can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, so I would just say you get to be a calming influence in the midst of that. Here's what I know about my girls. When we freak out, they freak out. And so there may be instances where, you know, what's going on my inside is, oh my goodness gracious, but I've got to be the calming influence around those experiences for my kids. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that it's going to be okay. They need to know that God is sovereign in the midst of it. And you get to be a coach. I mean, you know, one of the things that we haven't said, but you've probably heard here around parenting is you move in the parenting world, you move from kind of disciplinarian to coach to almost mentor once they get truly independent. I mean, it's really, when they ask, offer your thoughts as opposed to what I want to do, which is offer my thoughts all the time. And that takes a lot of discipline for me, but that's what's healthy. So I don't know if that's helpful to you or not, but know that she's going to have those moments, and you get to be the calming influence in the middle of those moments. And what you pray is that she's going to pick up the phone and call you, as opposed to pick up the phone mm-hmm. and call another mentally immature freshman who's down the hall, which is, but that's what we hope we've instilled in our kids for the last 20 years before they go off.
And I think you can use that as a teaching opportunity to just ask the questions and go, oh, I wonder, you know, it seems like she's trying to find life there, and I wonder what's missing to make her, you know, to cause her to want to do that. Not to paint them in a bad light. You don't want to talk about them as they're a threat to your child, but that they're that God loves them just as much. And he sees my anger and pride are just as bad as her throwing up or whatever that's doing too. You know what I mean? I think it would be important to coach our children to still to love and be empathetic toward folks within reason. Obviously, if you know, I know there's some other really bad roommate situations that are a different picture, different story.
Do you have a question? Yes.
So one of the challenges we had with our kids going, graduating from high school and going on to college is this whole idea of following your passions versus what are your true aptitudes in life. And so, you know, passions come and go. Your passions change throughout life. Your aptitudes are kind of set by age 12. And with our first child, I think we failed in that one, and we learned a little bit more about this whole aptitude with our second child. But my first child wanted to be a worship pastor. You know, he just had a passion for music and all that. The only problem is he couldn't sing a lick. And he goes to college, gets this worship degree, even helps the dean kind of create this whole new pathway for worship, and he got through with it and wanted to do something else. He didn't want to do that anymore for his career. And probably one of the most sobering questions he asked me about 4 years ago, we were downtown Fort Worth, and he asked me, he said, "Dad, why didn't you stop me from doing that?" And it was a very tough question. I was like, I didn't want to be that dad. I didn't want to be that dad to stomp on your dreams. How would you guys handle a question like that, where you've got somebody who's really has a passion but may or may not actually have the aptitude to follow through with that passion? So if any of you faced that, mm-hmm. how did you handle it?
So, you know, you ever watched American Idol, right, or any of those? You ask that same question, right? Did somebody not tell them that they shouldn't have come to do this, right? Hey, we can all feel your pain. I mean, we've kind of all been there. And I think you're part of the process of letting them discover those things, but having a relationship with them that you've got to be honest about those things. I mean, it's the same thing when you you've got parents who think their kid is going to make the NBA. They're 5'6". And he's going to be the best basketball player. And then they go to the coach and they say, hey, can you help us get a scholarship? And the parents are driving those things. That's one extreme, right? And then you've got the other side is, hey, I'm just going to let them pursue their passions, which neither of those paths really are, okay? And I'm not picking on you. I've done the same thing. It's not loving your kid, right? And so we love our kid by helping them discover, but at the same time, just being real honest. Okay, do you think, you got to be honest about those things because you save them a lot of time, heartache, but here's the thing, is you don't have to focus on that negative, right? You can kind of start helping them see the positive things that you can encourage them towards rather than say, hey, you stink, all right, singing, all right, you just don't have a great voice, all right? So you can just be real honest, but encourage them towards those things you can see that they are good in. Thank you for that testimony.
I think
you're giving us confidence.
That's true. I think there's a lot of tools, too, in personality traits that you can do with your children when they're young, but middle school, high school, and help them to see really where they're gifted if you're not sure, just to give them those tools. I go back with that with my daughter going, remember this test that you took, and it really showed you you're good at this. So those are just easy tools.
So the other
yeah.
That's great testimony.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that I would just say in response to that is, and this is going to be hard for us, this is hard for us as parents. We need to let our children fail,
yeah.
Right? Way too often, they would, so the pot toucher in our family, and what we mean by that is, hey, that pot is hot, and she's got to go touch it before she believes it's hot, right? The pot toucher in our family, I could tell her all day long, hey, that's not a good idea. What I learned was she didn't hear that from me. She needed to experience touching the pot. And when your children are young, the cost of touching the pot is small. When your children grow old, the cost grows every year. So you are not loving your children if you protect them from the consequences of their bad choices when they are young. Let them experience them. We have learned that the consequences grow every single year, and you regret. Should have let her experience the pain of not getting to go to that camp instead of making sure she got to go to that camp because of choices she made, right? So let them experience those consequences. Sorry.
Yeah, just real quick, I just want to give you some encouragement. You said your son worked with the administration to pave the way for future other people that may want to do that. That is huge. That's a huge ministry service. So I would say it's not for naught. I have a degree I don't use at all. I have an art degree, and I work at Toyota in technology. And it's fantastic. So I just want to encourage you.
Very true.
We have two kids that are, to no surprise of most parents, very different. Mm-hmm. One is a pot toucher and a little more rebellious, but has a natural curiosity and affinity to God's word. And then we have another child who is obedient and content, but really does not have much desire drive to pursue faith. And they're still young. They're late elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I just would love to know y'all's thoughts on the balance between encouraging that in them, help them form it as a discipline, but also letting it be their own independent decision from kind of like this age, you know, late elementary, and then how you kind of let that be, okay, this is your choice versus like, okay, I still kind of get to help make some of these decisions for you.
Yeah, so in our house, that depended on the child and our knowledge of the child and what our kid really needed. That's where go back to this idea of being a student of your child is super important. A more compliant child, is much more relational, and so using that desire for relationship to connect around God's word and all that is part of that is a way to use the things that she is drawn toward to draw her towards the Lord, right? And in the same way, our child who is more less compliant, if I forced her to, the worst thing I could do would be to force her to have a daily quiet time, right? So I would just say it's really dependent upon the child and how can you relate to your children. I still think, if you're talking about late elementary, you still have a lot of influence. I think that influence really starts to wane as they go through junior high and start into high school. And so I would say make the most of the years that you've still got left in terms of what that looks like. I think the other thing is I am more intellectual than fun. And so if I'm not really careful, what ends up happening is I teach my kids that relationship with God is not fun because the way dad experiences connecting to God is not fun. And so I would just say figure out how to draw your children, cooperate with the Holy Spirit in drawing your children to himself in ways that they want to connect to God. Does that make sense? So it doesn't have, if you got one child that wants to sit down with a concordance and a commentary and word study, praise God for that child. That's not very many, most kids. Most kids want to try and figure out the way they want to relate to God is something that connects with them. So I would just say being a student makes that difference.
I think it's time for lunch.
Is it time for lunch?
Yeah. Hey, we'd love to hang out and talk with you or go grab something to eat and sit down and talk if you want to do that. But we only have an hour for lunch, so we need to end this.
Great.
So, hey, thanks for coming. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys for your questions, too.